Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hey, busy mamas, it's Mia here. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. So I just want to start off with a few announcements. It's feeling a little bit announcement heavy these days, but please bear with me because it's all really exciting stuff. I feel like I'm coming out of hibernation from this writing of the book, and now it's out in the world, and here I go. Here we all go. So first of all, this is the second in the series of the Plan Simple Meals book talks. As I explained in the last episode, I'm going to do about 10 different book talks, not necessarily all in a row. There'll be some interviews interspersed in between them, but just to dive deeper into the content of the book and really pull up one concept at a time so you can work on that concept and really put it into action in your life. And so I'm hoping that they're really helpful in that way. So this one is going to be about intention. But before we dive into that, I want to remind you that if you haven't signed up for the 14-day shift, which is a free challenge happening from August 1st to August 14th, where we're going to shift how we snack as a family, go and do that now. The link is in the show notes, and you can also get to it from the Plan Simple Meals website, plansimplemeals.com. And really, if you ever struggle with snacks, either which ones to give or how to incorporate them into your kid's life or your life, or when you or your kids need to say no to snacking, this is going to walk us through all of that in 14 days. So super excited about that and can't wait to see who shows up. And then the second thing I want to say, which you can also get to from the Plan Simple Meals website, or the Plan Simple Meals book website, is that I am taking my family out of school for a year and we are going on somewhat of a tour, which is starting in the West Coast. So we may just well be at a city near you. And I'm running some really exciting intensives around cooking and just around meal planning in general. And I'm super excited to meet many of you where you live. So please go check those out. I hope to fill the spots quickly so I know which cities to spend more and less time in. And email me if for some reason your city's not there and you think that your city would be a really good stop for us on this tour. I'm really excited about this. I have no idea how it's all going to work out, but I'm just really excited to be able to meet you guys where you are. So check that out and definitely be in touch about it. So there's the free challenge, there's the book tour. Oh, and I'm so grateful for everyone who actually helped Plan Simple Meals become a number one bestseller in a number of categories a couple weeks ago. And so now, I just wanted to remind you that if you haven't gotten your copy of the book, it's available in print and in Kindle now, and that when you buy either, you can log back, you can go back to the plansimplemealsbook.com site, and there's lots of content, lots of worksheets. You just have to show that you've bought the book, and then you get access to this whole portal to really put a lot of the things from the book into action. So that's a really exciting component of the book that I don't know that I've shared with you yet. So make sure when you get the book to go back to the plansimplemealsbook.com, enter in your information, and you will get access to this whole learning area where you can download worksheets and meal planning sheets and sample meal plans and all that kind of great stuff. It's really exciting. And so I can't wait to hear what you think about that. All right, so let's dive into today's topic, which is setting intentions. So here's the deal. It can feel like a lot to make big changes to how we eat. How we eat is just so ingrained. It's so ingrained in the rituals of our life. It's so ingrained in what we think we know about life. We've created so many habits around food. We have all these strong associations with different foods happening at different moments in our life and with smells. And so changing that when it doesn't serve us, I'm not going to lie, it's not always easy. But what I say over and over again is that it may not always be easy, but it can be simple. And in the first episode of this book series, these book talks, we talked about doable changes. And now I want to offer up a different tool, which is really setting a strong intention. Because a lot of times we lose track of why we're trying to make these changes, and then they just feel hard. Like, and then that's when I think when you lose track of why, that's when you have those thoughts like, oh my God, I feel so deprived, or oh, I just like, I should be able to have that just once, right? Because like, why would I not let myself have that when everybody else is having it? And you start playing these games with your mind, and you feel like you're being left out of something. But when you have a strong why that's pulling you forward, I don't think you're as likely to feel those things. Maybe at the beginning you'll feel them a little, but you'll read your why more and you'll soon be pulled forward and out of those feelings. So many times today, I'll walk into a party and people will realize that they haven't made anything that I'm going to eat and they immediately feel bad. And I'm getting better and better at making those people not feel bad. But the truth is that I don't feel bad at all. And I have no judgment over the other people there and what they're wanting to eat. But I've found what really makes me feel good. And now that I feel well, mind you, before all this, I didn't know I didn't feel well. But now that I know I feel well, which for me just means that I have a ton of energy, I'm not on medicines, I'm not on any over-the-counter or prescription medicines for that matter. I can solely make myself feel better through food. Now that I know what that feels like, I just don't want that other stuff. I don't have stomach aches. Everything in my body seems to flow when I'm paying attention to it. And, there's really not anything that tempts me to give that up at this point. Now, I have played around with what it is that makes me feel that, and I'm quite aware of which different foods, really make me feel bad. So for example, like gluten is just a non-negotiable for me. Like my stomach feels like it's turning knots after I've had gluten these days. I immediately feel like I have taken 10 Benadryls, which I know what Benadryl feels like because I used to take that a lot. And so I immediately just feel so tired. Like it obviously doesn't serve me. So there's other things like sugar, which is definitely still tempting to me, and definitely something I crave and have just figured out either a lot of different ways to make things that don't have sugar. And there are moments when I will find, like, there's this awesome ice cream shop that opened in Boston, which is all, mostly gluten-free, but all vegan. It's all coconut and nut-based ice creams. But it definitely has sugar. But, that's something that maybe I have once every 6 months, and I fully know how it's going to make me feel after, which isn't that great, yet I do it anyway. So we all have these temptations, but it's really sort of, what is your overarching goal? And what are the little things that really add up? So that is very true. Like some people always say, I just want to live a little, or I don't want to deprive myself because that would be not living. So you have to really define for you what living means and what it means, what it is you're really, looking forward to. So what I really tell people to do and what has really helped me is to really map out, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it does shift. So for example, in my story, when I first started out, my big why was to lose the weight. And at the time, to be honest, with three kids, that felt pretty yucky and selfish. But as I started doing it, I started realizing what an impact me being healthy had on everybody who I loved around me. So it quickly became unselfish. So I actually always challenge people when they're saying, they really want their kids to do this and their kids to do that. I always challenge people to come back to themselves first, because I feel like when we know what makes us feel good and we can sustain a life of that ourselves, that it's much easier to pass those lessons on to our kids. So if you're someone who your strong why right now is about your kids, I definitely would challenge you to really consider, is that true? And if I took away all judgments that I had about myself and that I thought the world had about me, is that really what I would pick? And what I found is I really needed to zero in on myself. And for me, that was the weight thing. So it could be weight. It could be that you're on medicine that you want to get off. It could be that you're always tired. It could be just you just have this weird inkling that your digestive system doesn't work right, or you have stomach aches, or you get headaches. And so many of those things can reflect back on what we eat. Now, it could be that you have a child who's been diagnosed with an allergy, or is, has extreme ADD, or has asthma, or is always on antibiotics, and you're really, really, your maternal instinct knows that that's not right, and you really want to change that. So in that case, go with it. If it's really what's driving you, then go with it, and maybe do whatever the changes are with your child. Maybe that's the way to look at it. But figure out what that reason is that's really going to pull you forward into making good changes, and good choices each day. So, if you're having trouble thinking of what that is, and there are no illnesses or medicines, and you're feeling like you're living a pretty healthy life, and that you've heard a lot about what it would be like to not have gluten or not have dairy or not have sugar, but your body's feeling pretty good, then this is what I would challenge you to do. I would challenge you to take some time, and even if you do know what is your thing right now? I would actually challenge everybody to do this. I just think it's an amazing exercise, because what I find is that a lot of times when it comes to food, we are thinking about now, right? So I walk into a room and there's a platter of cookies, and my thought process is this worth it to me right now to have this cookie or not to have this cookie? And if I have a strong why, then I can walk away from the cookie. But my mind is still going through this process of, whether I should have it or not, quite frankly. And it's very much in the moment. And my mind is automatically going to think, like, what would it hurt me to have it right now? So one of the reasons that we talk a lot about meal planning is because when you have a plan, you're more likely not to do those things, and you're more likely to build in those treats into your plan and really think about intentionally why you want them. But in order to get out of that moment-to-moment decisions, and out even of the weekly decisions that you create in a plan, I find it really helpful to visualize what you want your life to look 10 years from now. Or if your kids are really young, I would challenge you to even say 20 years from now. So we get so caught up in this moment of now and not wanting ourselves to feel deprived, not wanting our kids to feel deprived, not wanting to feel different, not wanting to, take a stand in a moment where we don't feel like we want to fight for something. But if we're thinking of how we want to be 20 years from now, all the little things really do add up. So, yes, if I go out and have a hamburger and fries right now, I might feel a little yucky for 2 hours. I might experience heartburn. I just might feel extremely and uncomfortably full. But most likely in 6 hours, that feeling's going to go away and I'll be able to have the next meal. But if I do that every day for a couple months, there is going to be an impact to that food on my body. And the same is true with healthy food. So I could go out and have a huge salad every day for lunch for a week and feel really great for that week, and then decide, whatever, I'm going to live a little and go change that. And the cumulative effects of that salad will not be so cumulative. So it can really work either way. So I find that making, visualizing what life is like some time in the future that feels so far away is really helpful to taking yourself out of the moment, because it doesn't come down to what you feel this afternoon after you eat something. It has to do with, okay, great. If I have a big salad every day for 5 years, how does that change my life in 20 years? And it changes your life hugely. There's some amazing stats out right now, some amazing studies that have been done on the amounts of the servings of fruits and veggies we need a day. And it's actually gone up over the years as they study more and more people. And right now, it's said that 7 to 13 servings a day of fruits and vegetables dramatically changes when we're going to die. Like, we will have a much longer life. And if you're an athlete, those servings go up to 16 to 18. And just for reference, a serving is about a cup. And it's a cup, you know, so if it's a cup of cooked spinach, for example, that's probably like 5 or 6 cups uncooked. So it's about a cup of the veggies that you're going to eat. And if you really take a few days to do this, you'll see that it's not that easy. It's not that easy to do over, you know, every single day, day in and day out, especially for everybody in your family. So you might be able to master it for yourself, but it's not that easy to do it for a whole family. And so really focusing on what life looks like 20 years from now enables you to really set those doable changes. So if we're using vegetables as an example, to add a different vegetable every week and to add one more serving every week or every 2 weeks or whatever it looks like most doably in your life. And that does have a big impact over time. So if I was to sit down and write about what my life looked like in 10 or 20 years, here's what I would think about. I would think about, where do I live? Where are my kids? How is everyone's health? Like, really go into detail, you know, do you want to be medicine free? Do you want to be able to still run or do some sort of activity? Or do you want to have tons of energy to be with your grandchildren? Because, you know, if you have a 10-year-old, in 20 years, you might have a grandchild. So that's why I think it's so helpful to think far out into the future, because it really gets us through, like, yeah, like telling Sally that we can't have her cupcake and feeling bad that we're telling her we can't have our cupcake. Like, that doesn't really matter when you're thinking about how you want to be in 30 years, right? It feels like such a big deal in the day, but it's not a big deal when we're thinking about the life that we have ahead of us. So really focusing on, how do you want to feel? You know, how much energy do you want? Where do you want to be living? What does a day look like? You know, how are you sleeping? Where are your kids? What does their life look like? And it just helps us shape this idea. If we're imagining these kids that aren't kids anymore, who are then raising healthy kids, and they have these great lifestyles that of course we want for our kids, then we want to make them as healthy as possible. And we want to give them the tools for when they're not in our house to be as healthy as possible, right? And then all these little things seem kind of little, even though they seem big in the moment. So that's just a really, really helpful exercise that I love doing. And then going back and reading what I wrote just to give me perspective. And if you're really trying to make a big change right now, you could do this for 3 years from now, right? And just really, how do you want your life to be different? What do you want your body to feel like, to look like? How do you want to feel as you go out into the world? And all these different things. Are there specific goals about getting off of medicine, about certain weight loss goals, about certain activities you want to accomplish? I'm not a big measurement person, so I love thinking about things in terms of activities and, you know, wanting to be able to climb some mountain or go on some hike or run some amount or, you know, fit comfortably in some dress rather than think about the measurements. But you know, you have to gauge for how that feels for you. So that's just an exercise I love to do. And then once I'm really clear on what my intention is, and as I said, that shifts, right? So I started off with weight loss, And then I moved into really focusing on my daughter, who was not thriving with her allergies, and getting to the bottom of that. And that was sort of the intention that really pulled me forward for a while. And then for a while, it was really how to bring my whole family along for the ride. And then I started focusing on littler things, actually. So I sort of started big, and then there's always something. So for a moment, it was like how to really have meaningful family dinners, how to get the whole family to the table. Then, you know, I've gone back and forth as I get really busy with needing to then again re-put on my oxygen mask. So drinking enough water, getting enough exercise, sort of self-care for myself. Then kids go through different phases themselves. So, you know, I've gone through moments where I thought I had these great eaters, and then somebody goes through a phase and we have to sort of start back a little with getting them liking their veggies again. So there's always something to work on. And don't let that overwhelm you, but let it really help you on this path to a healthy lifestyle. And so when I know what it is I'm working on, I just write that out. And I write it out less of a wish and more of a declaration of sort of how things are. And I usually write it as though it's already happening. So, you know, if I'm working on a picky eater, I'll say, you know, all my kids finish their plates because they love eating all the veggies, you know, a huge rainbow of veggies every day. Or if I'm working on getting them to help with chores in the kitchen, I'll say, I have three kids who love to cook and help me wash dishes and prep food, you know, whatever it is. I'm just now making this up. But I write it in the present tense. And I'll write it on a post-it sort of in the morning. And sometimes if I'm working on one thing for the week, I'll just write it once on a post-it and sort of carry it around, attach it to my phone, whatever, and read it quite frequently. So I start to remember that that's what I'm working on, and I start to believe that it's possible. Sometimes for me, just writing it out over and over again. So maybe I'll write it on a post-it each morning so that I remember what it is I'm working on. But just somehow bringing this attention to this intention to your attention each day. Or if it's a big thing, you know, if it's about weight loss, or it's about, you know, really trying to kick caffeine or sugar or something that feels really hard to you, you might need to look at that thing every half hour. And that's fine, because it really helps to have a vision. It really helps to have something that is pulling you forward so that you don't have to use your head in a situation when you're craving something, or you're hungry, or a very strong sense of smell comes into your awareness, or you have this memory of this amazing, you know, I don't know, decadent chocolate cake you had, and all of a sudden you want that. Or it can be that it's a nervous habit, and you're just trying to fill a void or fill space or fill time. That definitely happens to me from time to time, just because I'm an introvert. And so when I end up in a big room of people, I would find that I would always just gravitate toward the food because it was a place I was supposed to be by myself. And the second you just become aware of that and make it your intention to do something different, you figure out something different to do in that time. So that, I think, is what I have to say on intention and really using sort of something bigger than the food to pull you forward with the food. And that will really help make this a lifestyle change instead of sort of a fad that you can focus on until something big happens. And then it just sort of is this vicious cycle of, okay, I'm going to eat the way I think I want to eat, but then I'm going to go on vacation, and then I'm going to eat the way I think I want to eat, but then a kid got sick, so then I have to start back and do it again. And it will sort of start to make it more of a constant instead of an up and down. And of course, there's always times where we have to reevaluate and repoint ourselves, and that sometimes we outgrow an intention and need to think of a new one. It's a constantly evolving practice. But I think if a good practice is to just really think about it with your meal planning each weekend, and really make sure you're on target with that bigger reason of why you want your whole family to eat well this week. All right, you guys, I will see you on the next episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. if you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.